I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of Those Two Girls.
Here we go.
So you're back in the Pilates groove, Liz.
I am. Four times I went last week.
Four times?
Yep.
Wow, look at you, Fitzbo.
Well,
you'll be trying to do the splits again in no time.
I was actually just about to say, did you know that it's been over a year since Lee's last tried to do the splits?
I've given up on that.
That felt like the hardest 5 years of our life. That month.
Oh, God. It was 3 weeks of copious stretching videos and photos.
And
I mean, there is nothing as uninspiring as looking at somebody whose crutch is still a meter off the floor. And they're trying to stretch lower.
Well, the thing is, I just quickly realised that my body just isn't made to do the splits. Maybe when I was young it was.
No, you could get back there. You just didn't have the inclination nor the willpower.
It hurt too much.
So no excuses. No, my body's not made for this.
I don't think it is, though. I think that my levers are too long.
No.
My levers.
Yeah, I mean, legs. That's probably the one thing she learned from trying to, like, look at Google.
No.
How
Sarah,
to stretch into splits.
No.
Look at your levers.
No. It's also a Pilates term. If you have long levers, it's much harder on your
Here's
core.
Here's the best of today's
it's
show. I hope you enjoy
your
it.
Core.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
It has come to my attention that Microsoft founder Bill Gates is waiting in queues. And I take umbrance with that because how rich do you have to be before you can skip a queue or not have to wait in one at all? Now, he was spotted in Sydney and he was waiting in line at the barber. It was in Double Bay, thank goodness.
Oh,
and,
oh my
God. And he asked the barber if he could pop out for a coffee and the barber said, yes, but you'll just have to go back to the end of the queue
but that is
while
Bill,
you get a coffee. I know it's so
his
lovely.
Schtick. No, it's not lovely. That's just how he lives his life.
Because
it's his life
in America,
philosophy.
He was spotted waiting in line for a Coke and fries at some budget burger outlet.
Why are you offended by
but don't
this?
You get
it should
so
be
sick
celebrated.
Of waiting in lines? The man's worth $163 billion.
And that's why he gets my respect, because I feel like you treat others how you want to be treated, and waiting in queue is a normal part of a human existence.
Fibber, we went to a movie premiere and you tried to beat all the media and all the prize winners in by going through a back door into the theatre. That's what you wanted me to do. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a queue. So you can't be too hoity-toity on your pedestal about
that. That's adventure. I love a fire escape.
I've had
great times in a fire escape. Okay?
I said to you,
let's just go through the fire escape.
You wanted to skip the queue. And I'm asking something. I'm saying, what's wrong with skipping the queue? And I mean, Bill could have had the barber up to his hotel room to trim his follicles. I mean, I don't even like waiting in the checkout at
Woolies. What do you really want to talk about here? Do you want to talk about the fact that you're not climbing from the D-list to the C-list fast enough?
Maybe that's what it is. I just want to get – I'm looking at getting my groceries online delivered.
Also
– just to avoid a queue. Yes.
Fire escapes – access to a fire escape doesn't push in front of people. You're actually parkour.
I know.
Like, it's actually,
oh, you know what?
There's more to it.
Over the weekend, it came to light that 97-year-old Prince Philip has voluntarily relinquished his driver's license. Now, presumably this follows on from the accident he had, I think it was last month, where pretty much T-boned a car coming out of an intersection and everyone was okay. But, you know, at the time it raised the question, 97 is a very old age to be driving. And even
Absolutely.
You look at Prince Philip and he's a pretty fit old bloke, but your reflexes are compromised. Your eyesight certainly can't be what it was when you were younger. And it got Lee's and I talking about, should there be a hard cutoff age for older drivers? And then we started looking at what happens in Australia. And it pretty much looks like from the age of 75, you have to have a medical review to keep your open class car license. So that's obviously going to your GP and them saying, yeah, sure, you can you can keep it. And then from 85, you have to have a practical driving test every couple of years if recommended by a health professional. I think that's it.
It's dependent on state, though, because Vic Roads just say that they recognise older drivers as 75 years and older, but no test is required. So I think it's dependent state to state. I also
think... isn't there also a heavy bias in GPs?
Absolutely.
Like if you're going to your... I don't know, I just think I've got friends with older relatives and they know and their whole family knows that they should not still be driving for various medical conditions or full stop just their age. But, you know, people don't want to give up their independence and...
put it this way.
It's a rabbit warren.
My grandfather's turning 90 this September. And going back to the GP bias, you know, they've been frequenting their GP for the better part of 30 years. Now, that GP is wonderful, but she also doesn't want to lose clients. Like, let's be honest here. And, you know, Grandpa's a good driver, but also he can't turn his neck more than 20 degrees. So he gets Grandma to do the checking over the shoulder bit.
Yeah, right.
And
which
my
means
dad,
that he cannot drive independently safely.
And my father has said, I am not getting in the car with them any longer, because there was an incident a few months ago where Dad said, had he not been in the car and called out that there was a car coming,
yeah,
he said, I'm not getting back in the car. If I'm in the car with your grandparents, I'll be driving.
Yeah.
Let's throw it to calls on 13 10 60. What do you guys think? Should there be a hard cutoff with old people driving?
Yeah, there's nothing subjective. It's just like, right, well, let's just say in Australia you get to 82 and whatever your medical status or ability is, you don't drive anymore.
You know, if you're a GP out there, you know, we'd love you to weigh in. What happens in that consultation room? Mm. Should the Department of Transports around the country be, you know, be running these tests with an independent GP?
Yeah.
Let's get your opinions on this.
Mm. Okay, phones are open on 13 10 60. Do we need a hard cutoff age, an exact age in Australia where you're no longer legally allowed to drive?
I don't know.
I don't believe there should be. I think it needs to be. They need to be tested from the age of 85. So whether they go into their local Department of Transport and they sit a test.
85 is pretty old.
Okay,
it's got to be earlier.
Then, so earlier, but every individual needs to sit a test, because I don't believe a GP can diagnose that or assess that in a consultation. You need to be in the car with the individual. Let's
test
go to
reflex. Natalie,
yes,
on 13 10 60.
It's Natalie.
Oh, sorry.
They said
sorry.
Natalie. Sorry.
That's okay. No problem at all.
what do you think on this?
Look, I think there's no black and white to it. It's a very, very grey area. In the last couple of years, I haven't been at the gym, but prior to that, there were some ladies in that class that well and truly had age on them. Not only could they lift and get through the whole class with, you know, steadfast, but their reaction times and things like that, I think probably would have been on the same scale as me, and I'm in my early 40s. But I think it's like everything, from when you're born to when you die, everybody's going to have a different reaction time, and everyone's going to, you know, hit goals and not hit goals at whatever age you say. But my daughter recently got her P's, and they, before you're even allowed to do your driving test, you have to do... I can't remember the exact name, but it's like a perception test on a computer.
Mm.
And you have to touch the screen when you're supposed to brake or when you see that child off to the side. Maybe it's something like that that needs to happen.
Yeah, we were just talking about that off air, Natalie, like as some sort of simulator for drivers, you know, that are aging. Something like that might be good. Sounds like it would cost a mozza.
I don't know. Yeah, Mick on 13 10 60. Should there be a hard cutoff with age for drivers?
Yeah, I reckon there should be.
Okay.
I've got a sort of mate. He's permanently injured now. He's been hit by an old guy when he was a little bit younger. Now he struggles with day-to-day life.
So he was hit by an older driver in a car accident,
yeah.
Mick?
Yeah, absolutely. Now can't run around the park with his two young blokes. Struggles to get up with pain in the morning. Poor bugger's, he's had enough, he's done.
Right.
And he's not 40 yet.
And I've got here a note, Mick, that said the older driver was blind in one eye. Is that right?
Pretty well, mate, yeah. He was something like 80% or 85% blind.
Right. So, I mean, you kind of think You know, each individual is different, I know, but when there's a medical condition,
absolutely.
I mean, that is going to affect your vision, your reflexes. I'm with you, Lise. I think that there needs to be more than just an annual GP check.
Yeah.
There needs to be a practical assessment.
They've got to remove bias from this, because if you're going to your local GP, your local GP is not sitting in a vehicle with you and experiencing your driving ability. It's got to be a test the way our 15 and 16-year-olds are sitting tests.
Mm.
Do that again at the age of 70, 75 and 80, maybe in five-year increments.
Mm.
You know?
Well, maybe Prince Philip handing in his driver's license will make a few other people think about this whole process.
Mm, thanks for your calls, guys.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Guys, on the weekend, my family and I went camping. We actually went glamping.
Mm, well, that's because you're moving up in the world now.
That's right.
No more tents on the ground for you. No, your tent can be placed on a plinth.
It was amazing. Let me tell you, that plinth was life-changing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bath, there's a it's amazing. Anyway, we had a fabulous weekend. It was action-packed. We did lots and lots of things together. It was great. We were in the sun, we were in the sand, we were in the water, everything that you hate,
it
Sarah.
It sounds horrible.
We drove boats, we jumped off bridges. It was sensational. Now, on our way back from bridge jumping... on our way back from bridge jumping, we were walking along the foreshore,
mm-hmm.
okay? And my five-year-old said to me, "Mum, look at that duck." He pointed to an animal on the foreshore.
Mm-hmm. G-prep's going well, isn't it?
"Look at that duck," he said. Now, unfortunately, it wasn't a duck. It was a pigeon. And before I even had time to correct him, a stranger sitting at a picnic table right beside, well, you know, where we were walking past, looked up from her reading. She was just there by herself reading. She looked up and deadpan, she goes, "Should have gone to Specsavers."
Really?
Deadpan. And it took me a minute to register what a genius this stranger was. I burst out laughing and I just looked at her and I thought, this could, I thought maybe it's a comedian. Maybe we've walked past a comedian. I mean, Sarah, to be that quick and that deadpan to a five-year-old,
yes.
We need to be friends.
Did you slip her your number?
I didn't.
Well, you've missed an opportunity to make a quippy friend. I'm about done here. So you could have someone else in your life.
Oh, you're done with me?
I think so. I think so.
Moving on from that.
I've been telling you all those Specsavers jokes for years.
I know.
And you don't laugh
didn't.
When I say them. Look at
didn't.
Me. I'm sitting at you four-eyed right now looking at you.
But how good to just, like, she took a risk that I was going to be a liberal enough mother to laugh and not be like, "Oh, how dare you say that to my child?" Also, when I corrected Maxie and said, "That's not a duck, it's a pigeon," he then corrected me and said, "It's not a pigeon, it's a pidget."
A pigeon?
So he thinks pigeon, he thinks I've said it incorrectly. To him, pigeons are pronounced pidget.
Well, when I saw our producer Aaron walking in from the car park this morning, I thought he was carrying a black cat. And I thought, wow, that's unusual. It turns out it was just a reusable bag.
Should have gone to Specsavers. Those two girls.
To Specsavers.
On the first day of the week, for the next several weeks to come, is, of course, Married at First Sight. Holy Mother of God.
Last night's
that
episode.
That was next level.
I mean, it's very difficult for us to stay up until 20 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
On those nights.
But we pushed through for you guys.
That's right.
It was...
it was the commitment.
It's blowing up. The commitment ceremony. Bronson dropped a major C word at Innes, but Australia seems to be sort of supporting him in saying that relationship is severely damaged.
So what they have to do in a commitment ceremony is decide whether they're going to stay or leave.
Mm-hmm.
The following week.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
And I feel like a lot of people were throwing things at the TV saying, "Why would you stay?" across
because
many couples, Lizzie and
right.
Sam. I mean,
yes.
Who are these experts putting people together? Blind Freddie can see that this makes for terrible television viewing. Although, does it? Because I tell you what, I feel pretty good about myself after watching that show.
Well, it's funny you say that because someone said to me last week, was it you, Scotty?
It depends on how wise what you're about to say
well,
next
someone is. Said to me that those shows are put together with the exact purpose to make you feel good about your life. So they cast people. They cast people who are quite rotten on the inside, yeah. really, so that you look at the television and go, wow, I'm not doing so badly.
No, yeah, wow, look at my morals and standards.
And look at my relationship. We're not doing so poorly.
No.
So you compare yourself and then you put yourself on a pedestal because compared to them, you're ace.
I mean, you often put yourself on a pedestal, though. Does maths highlight that?
I don't need maths to do that.
Well, I hope everyone's feeling good now at 5:02.
That's why people listen to this show. It makes them feel good about themselves too.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
I reckon I could do the splits right here, right now, further than you got in January last year. Yeah, I reckon I could.
You'll be injured for 11 months of it.
We have to tag.
Be careful, Sarah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
my gosh,
hands.
She's doing it. She's done. She's done the splits. She's touched the ground. Oh my gosh!
Sarah, your front lever isn't even straight.
It is not further at all after three weeks of having your legs up against the wall.
I can pull up the photographs. I've still kept them.
And I did that in cargo pants.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, whatever. One of us was a dancer. One of us wasn't.
Sarah, you did ballroom.
And jazz, and for 8 weeks, tap. Oh, good times. Okay,
are you
bye.
Sorry, I'm not done. Are you going to influence your daughters to do dance?
No.
Dance mom?
No.
No, it's full on. There's a lot of costumes.
Sarah's too lazy to be a dance mom.
I am. Like back when I was doing dancing, mum made all my costumes everything. Now you've got to stump up $120 for someone else to make a costume for a 3-year-old. Like, that's too rich for my blood. I'm not Bill Gates.
But you do want to skip the line.
I do want to skip the line. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to go now?
And then you've got to go to lame concerts where nobody can dance for a number of years until they all start getting coordinated. You've just got to sit through it. What a punish that is. I'm just telling the truth. Yeah, no. If they want to do it, sure, they can, but I'm not embedded to the idea of having girls. Just because I've got girls, they have to dance.
Are you going to expect us as your colleagues and friends that when your daughters get to an age that they're in high school performances and musicals and things,
do we have
that
to go?
We will come? Is there going to be? Okay, great.
Oh,
that's great news. I don't need to resign. That's really great news for all of us.
I mean, I say this as somebody who was into drama at high school, that drama kids are the most annoying children the planet. And I like to think I wasn't in them because I feel like I could recognise that even at an early age where it would just be like, shut up, Tegan, shut up. Okay, nobody wants to hear your soliloquy.
You are picturing someone from
I do want to hear
Tegan.
I
am right
I do
now.
Want to hear Tegan's soliloquy.
Yeah, what did she have? And what's she doing with herself now? Actually, don't answer that. Enjoy your day, bye.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.